This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
What We Spend is a new podcast that explores something we almost never talk about. Every week, you'll hear a different guest share everything they spend their money on. What We Spend is available now on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
We're talking about the whole year and what happens. The Cubs are, I don't know that they're built to be a pennant-winning team. They need help in the bullpen for sure. Probably need one or two more starting pitchers, and they're short of field position players.
Well, I think that's fair. The bullpen is always going to need help if you're going to be serious about making a run at a pennant. And that's what we just said. That's the way you should view the 2025 Chicago Cubs.
Yep.
Pennant contenders.
Yep.
Pennant contenders. And the bullpen, okay, let's put that over in a category over here. You're always going to need bullpen help. Mason Miller is always going to be the guy we discuss about what you would give up to get. So the other two situations are just as pressing, if not more, right now because of Shota Imanaga's injury. He'll be out at least 2 weeks.
Yep.
We're saying, like, let's just say June 1st. That could be a conservative return time. And what do they do in the interim? Could it be Cade Horton? Possibly. Could it be just getting by with Chris Flexen and Colin Ray and everybody else? Probably. So the third basis situation, what do you do there? We heard Matthew Boyd talk about Nicky Lopez. Great play. Diving stop, right? Nicky Lopez, Mr. Glove, dependable glove. But when he went up to the plate with the bases loaded, you weren't thinking home run. The only person in the building thinking home run was Alex Cohen.
Was weird, man.
He gets carried away. He's filling in, and he did a nice job. But I wasn't thinking home run. He's not a home run hitter. That's my point.
That's the point. But David, that exchange was distracting for me.
It was a little bit.
Because Alex Cohen is like, hey, man, like, wouldn't it be great if, like, everything worked out and the Cubs win the World Series?
And he had a grand slam.
Was like, yeah, I'm on board with that. But it was just weird.
Because it was unrealistic.
It was not.
But you want, I guess, to use that example, you want a third baseman to come up to the plate with the bases loaded who you might be thinking is going to go deep. You want your third baseman to be able to hit a home run.
Nicky is more of a displaced second baseman, isn't he?
Yes.
I mean, he's not really.
He is a utility infielder. That's a definition of a utility infielder. You think of him as a second baseman. He can also play shortstop.
Yes.
And, oh, by the way, in a pinch, put him at third. That's utility. That's useful.
That's exactly what he is. He's like a little dude, utility man who doesn't really hit. But as I said, when they put him in, the first time it's like, well, there's not going to be an error. He's not going to make an error. He's going to be able to handle that hot corner. That's not a problem now.
But you knew he wasn't going to hit a homer.
But that's not the answer.
Right. It's not the answer.
It's not the answer.
And
not,
you know, that now 36 answer. Games in.
Good guy to have on your roster.
Excellent guy.
Yeah.
Good pickup. Smart pickup. 36 games into this season, Mully, the Cubs have yet to get a home run from a third baseman. And it's the first time since...
I'd love to see him hit a grand slam. Like, what?
It's the first time... Thank you, Chris Kamka from Marquee Sports Network.
Yeah, he's great.
First time since 1978 where that's been the case. And Matt Shaw, he homered on March 29th, but that was as a pinch hitter. So when Craig Counsell has penciled in whoever at third base, none of those guys have homered for him for the Cubs this year. So that brings us to – they have a six-man rotation at third base. It's longer and deeper than their pitching rotation.
It's crazy.
You asked a question before the break, and it's a good one. It's a valid one. Don't you believe that Matt Shaw is their ultimate answer? Well, I think that you hope that's the answer. Matt Shaw is in 13 games at Triple-A Iowa, hitting .277 – on-base percentage of .424, OPS of .828. He has homered once. He hasn't shown the power that he had shown last year. It's okay. I think Jed Hoyer alluded to yesterday, they're watching every at bat. I don't think it's screaming to say, bring me back. But I wonder what they're going to do there.
What did the hitting coach say? The assistant hitting coach came out publicly and said he's ready to come back.
Yeah, that puts a little pressure on the Cubs front office. I think when you look at the Matt Shaw situation and you look around the major leagues, there have been stories written about how that's not a deep position throughout the league in baseball any longer. It's not Justin Turner. I thought they would use him more than they have. Guess that's not going to be the case.
I'm going to say this, and you're not going to like it.
Okay.
You could DFA him. If you need a roster spot, that's where you get it.
You're not going to DFA Justin Turner.
Why not?
Number one, you're paying him $5 million, $6 million.
Okay, but I'm just saying.
You're paying him $6 million.
He's a great guy to have around, and he tells a story, and he loosens everyone up.
Well, you were
up.
Right about one thing.
But he's not doing anything.
Man. I didn't like it. You said you're not going to like this.
Oh, I knew you wouldn't
like it. I'm not going to like it.
But if you're searching for a spot, that's a guy that, you know, you could bring. You got these problems.
He's not the guy that would be the top of my list of DFAing if you're bringing somebody up.
Okay. Like, he's right now, he's gone into this mode where I'll sit there and watch the game and like, they'll show a shot and there he'll be. And I'm like, oh, that guy's still on the team? You could DFA him. That's just the way I'm looking at him. And I know that's mean,
so,
but I swear to God, it goes through my head every time I see him.
You look at him, and a couple
nothing.
Years ago, they had a similar guy, Trey Mancini. Remember Trey Mancini?
Yes.
Good guy to have in the clubhouse. Yes. Not so good at the plate.
Right. What did they do with Trey Mancini?
Do you think right now, May 6th, do you think that in September 6th that Justin Turner will be in a Cub uniform?
I don't believe that. Do you?
I want to believe it.
You do?
I want to believe it. Yeah, I like Justin Turner.
I don't dislike him.
Hey, he had a hit the other day.
I know
he
married a girl from Indiana. We love him. I get it.
That's my standard.
That's my standard.
He had a base hit, though, the other day with two outs. So I think, yeah, I know what you're saying, though. The big picture question is, what would you do if you have to make a move? And bring in a third baseman like Matt Shaw, what's your corresponding roster move?
Yes.
Because Nicky Lopez, I think, is probably worth keeping because of his defense. Eh? No?
You know, honestly.
Birdie?
Lopez,
Brujan.
No, I watched him play last year, and it was the worst. It was the worst season any team's ever had. But I felt like he was kind of a late-hitting second baseman. I felt like... That's a guy.
He's lasted this long, though, because of his defense and because of his savvy
because he's got
some moxie. The word moxie.
Moxie's a great word.
Moxie's the word to describe him.
I'm not saying he has no value. I'm just saying, you know, he will stop the bleeding. He can stop the problem, but he isn't the answer. That's all I'm saying.
I'm not being mean to him. No, you're not. But
I really like the guy. Genuinely,
he's a likable guy. He's a local guy, as we know, from Naperville. Can you imagine the feeling he must have had last night? Was his first start at Wrigley Field. Electric atmosphere. You're playing the Giants. He spent last year, I'm sorry, but it had to be such a contrast. He spent last year with the Sox going through
toiling in obscurity.
Yeah, and he endured the worst season in Major League history.
No question.
And he comes here, he's picked up by the Cubs, and his first start is that atmosphere, and he makes a big play. And he has a big at bat. Him walking with the bases loaded was a quality at bat.
He signed with the Cubs. They cut him. He left the Cubs. He played for the Angels, was it?
Yeah.
They cut him, and the Cubs picked him up off the scrap heap, and he stopped the bleeding at third base. I'm not trying to be a jerk. I'm just saying, I mean, maybe that's a darker story, but that's the story.
But that's okay.
It's not some fairy tale.
I didn't say it was
you
a fairy tale.
You kind of implied that.
I was looking at it this way. You're looking at it the way you described very well. I'm looking at it as he must feel like he won the lottery and not the NHL draft lottery.
No.
Because he'd still be wondering what the heck happened if that were the case.
No one can figure that out.
No one can figure that one out. But Nicky Lopez has to feel like he won the baseball lottery.
Did he need the nine to come up? What happened? How did they run out of balls? What?
Memo to Gary Bettman, bad idea.
That was so confusing. Oh my God. The Utah Hockey.
We're going to go to a commercial. Who's going to be third?
Honest to God. I said to my wife, she was sitting there, and she kind of, you know, could care less, but I'm watching it. And then she's like, what are they doing? Like, what? The total obscurity caught her up in it. The unbelievable confusion ended up kind of becoming interesting. You know what I mean? Like, she started watching it.
You watched it because
you couldn't figure it out.
You were waiting for them to interpret it.
And I said to her,
it never happened.
I said, well, the Hawks are going to pick in the top four. They're guaranteed that. And she's like, well, how can they guarantee that? And I'm like, I don't know.
It's hard to explain. Long story.
And then they literally left the third pick empty.
Yeah.
And then they went to break. And I'm like, well, they're picking third. It's okay. They got the third pick. And she's like, how do you know that? I'm like, I don't know. I just know it.
I just know.
And then they come
back.
I
just know.
And they got all the teams.
Well, you look
up.
Pretty smart to her.
They didn't. No, she was more confused than I was. And I was watching it with knowledge and still couldn't figure out what the hell they were doing.
It was very confusing. Okay, back to baseball.
Anybody. They didn't actually talk to anybody.
Back to baseball and the Cubs. So the third base conundrum, I think this, it's somewhat unrealistic to think, or you tell me if I'm wrong, that they're going to. No, I think it's unrealistic to expect the Cubs to go out and to trade for a third baseman.
No, they're not going to do that.
That's going to be an impactful guy.
No, they're not going to do it again.
And trade for a starter. That's going to be an impactful starter.
Yeah, that is where.
It's either going to be one or the other, I think.
Yeah, well, I think their priority should be bullpen. It will be starting pitching. And I think the third baseman they feel is an internal solve.
Why do you believe that the priority should be bullpen over starting pitching when you've lost two of your top starters? I know Shota is coming back so far, and Justin Steele is not.
I think they're doing a good enough job of eating innings, and the offense has played so well that when you finally get to the playoffs, that you're going to have to improve. Your bullpen is not built to win a pennant. You're talking about winning a pennant. That's how this conversation started.
You need a power arm back there.
You need somebody.
Need somebody who has high velocity, brings the heat, and no disrespect to Ryan Pressly, but that's not him at this stage of his career.
No, you need somebody that either can throw the ball past people, or you need somebody that has a pitch that just can't be hit.
Mm-hmm.
There are examples of guys like that through baseball, and that's kind of what you need. You don't have it. So we're sitting here, and their offense isn't a problem. In fact, it might be improving because of Dansby Swanson getting out of it. I mean, he's...
Can I add something I need to check myself on this?
Okay.
Because I mentioned, and this will be a constant refrain, I think, from Cub fans as we get near the deadline, as we get into June, but people will want Mason Miller from the A's.
Sure.
And I think he's going to be the top reliever that people will fantasize about. The A's are 20-16.
That's hard to believe.
They're a game back of the Mariners in the AL West. I don't think they're trading a guy who they have that kind of contract control when they're in the midst of a divisional race that.
Now, we're not allowed yet to look at the standings.
No, I'm looking at the standings. That bothers me when people say that.
No, we're not allowed.
The standings exist for a reason.
No, they don't. Not till Memorial Day.
They give you a guide. If they didn't matter, why would they keep track?
Why would they print them? At Memorial Day, we look at them, and then we decide whether you're going to trade.
Okay, you wait till Memorial Day. I'm going to tell you reality on May 6th, all right? You can wait till 3 weeks.
I'm going to tell you the way it is now
because they exist for a reason. The standings tell me the A's are not likely to be trading Mason Miller because they are worried about saving their own games and staying in their own race.
You know, when you are the Sacramento A's on the way to Vegas, just left Oakland, I'm not on that bandwagon.
Well, but you can't just wish cast Mason Miller onto the trade market because you think he'd fit well in the Cubs bullpen.
But I don't think I said Mason Miller. I said they need to make a move and they need to get somebody that can close a game for them. That's what I said.
Okay. I know I'm directing it at you.
I know.
But I think in general terms, we hear that name a lot because he is definitely.
But you were the one who brought it up.
I know. Well, I'm bringing it up because I anticipate these kind of conversations.
No, it's fair.
And Mason Miller is somebody we have talked about in the past.
They should have already traded for him.
Unless it's so far, none of these things have really gotten in the way of the Cubs getting off to the kind of start that makes you feel like this could be a special season. They're 22-14 in spite of maybe being an arm short of the bullpen, in spite of the injuries to their starting rotation, and in spite of having six men trying to play third base.
They finished fourth. For Bregman, is that right? They were fourth or were they third?
I think probably third.
They might have been fourth.
Tigers, Red Sox, Cubs, right? Was there a fourth team involved? I don't believe there was a fourth team involved.
I think there was a fourth team.
Whatever. The mystery team? Okay,
no,
John Heyman.
Honestly, I don't think it was a mystery team. But all I'm saying is if you weren't willing to cough up and pay for him, and then you went through what you went through with Matt Shaw. You just realized, oh, this isn't, he's not ready to solve it. Can he still be the guy at the end of the year that could come up and that can be that guy?
You're asking me, and I like Matt Shaw. So I'm going to answer in a way that is probably more positive than some people might be. I do think Matt Shaw, nothing that's happened to Matt Shaw has convince me that he still can't be a quality everyday third baseman with the Cubs, because I'm looking at their previous examples with developmental prospects and guys who had to take a step backward, had to go back to the minors, and then when they came back to the majors, they were better for the experience, better for the struggle. And I think Matt Shaw will be. PCA is a great example of that. When Pete Crow Armstrong went down to Iowa after his major league debut, you thought, well, that was overhyped. Oh, that was silly to hope that he was going to be the player that we thought he was going to be.
What year did you predict that he'd be the best player in Chicago by 2028? That was a couple of years ago. That's around that time.
But he struggled and then he succeeded. And sometimes, as Theo Epstein once said, as Jed Hoyer has parroted, as every executive wants to believe, you know, development isn't linear.
Yes.
Nothing about their progress has to be.
Yeah.
And they're going to be setbacks. Matt Shaw is experiencing one right now. And my guess is, and I don't know this for sure, but he probably has never struggled to this extent before.
I guarantee you he is not. Because he has hit at every level. You know how you know that? Because you look at his wacky swing and you think, holy God, like, why wasn't that correct?
Nobody ever changed it because they never thought they...
Because he didn't need to. He didn't need to change it.
That's why I believe he will be a factor in this season. And I think the Cubs do too before all is said and done. So my sense is that if they go out during the deadline or they go out before, you know, the next month or so when the trades start to happen, I don't know that they're going to get a third baseman. I don't know if one exists out there that is just...
Yeah, I agree with
you. It's not going to be Nolan Arenado. I don't think the Cardinals would trade him to the Cubs.
They're also hitting well enough to cover.
That's good. That's true for several positions. Yeah. That's true, frankly, for the weaknesses that we're obsessing about.
You're right.
Because this is a part of our role. Everyone plays one. They have weaknesses, but they're strong enough offensively to mask them right now.